Hello and welcome back to another episode of College Football Mania. As always, I'm your host, Brendan Hendricks, and today I will be breaking down the results from a wild Week 8 and giving my picks for the upcoming Week 9. So, first off, we have Wisconsin, who was number 14, who is now number 8. Facing off against an unranked Illinois team. Wisconsin's defense was stellar, only allowing Illinois to score in the first quarter and not letting them score any time past that and only allowing 7 points for the whole game. And Wisconsin's offense was something we've never really seen them do before. Instead of a ground and pound style run game, they threw the ball and aired it out a lot with true freshman quarterback Graham Mertz. He completed 20 of 21 passing attempts, threw for 248 yards, and threw 5 touchdowns, and ended up with a QB rating of 95.8. For rushing, Wisconsin used Garrett Groshek, who carried the ball 13 times for 70 yards. But they kind of switched out backs because they also ran with Nikhil Watson, who ran 19 times for 62 yards. Wisconsin's passing game looked unstoppable, and it looks like behind Ohio State, I'd say the second best in the Big Ten right now. There isn't a whole lot to say about Illinois. Brandon Peters went 8 of 19 for just 87 yards, and he also led the team in rushing with 7 carries and 75 yards, and Illinois' defense didn't look a whole lot better than that. But the Badgers look like an extremely dominant team right now, and they look to win the Big Ten West again. Next up, we have Clemson continuing their streak of dominance, routing ACC opponents as they move to 6-0 overall and 5-0 in their conference. They beat Syracuse, who is now 1-5, 47-21. Clemson's obviously ranked number one. They were ranked number one at the time, and they still are ranked first in the country. Trevor Lawrence threw 27 of 43 passes, throwing for 289 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. Really not his best game at all. In fact, he had about the same quarterback rating as Brandon Peters in the Illinois game, who was Illinois' quarterback. So not a great showing from Trevor Lawrence. He also threw a pick six. His one interception was a pick six. And overall, Clemson kind of had a slow start, but as the game went on, Clemson's depth showed. They were able to play, they were able to rotate around their defensive starters and backups to keep their defense fresh and just outlast Syracuse, and they pulled away in the end. Travis Etienne carried the ball 16 times for 86 yards and had 3 touchdowns. Clemson just still looks very dominant. This was probably the worst game they've played so far, which is very impressive that their worst game arguably was a 47-21 win. So the Tigers still look like they're an easy playoff contender. Alabama destroyed Tennessee 48-17, despite Tennessee's head coach Jeremy Pruitt saying he thinks the gap between Alabama and Tennessee is closing. It definitely is not. And the biggest news out of this game wasn't, the score really. I think this is pretty much what most people expected. After Georgia was able to soundly beat Tennessee, I don't think very many people expected Alabama to struggle with them. I certainly didn't. But the biggest story from this game was that Jalen Waddle, Alabama, who I said in my last episode I think is the best receiver in the entire country, broke his ankle returning the opening kickoff of the game and will now miss the rest of the season. It's pretty upsetting. I'm not an Alabama fan at all, but it's just, I think it should be upsetting for everyone who's into college football because Jalen Waddle was such an electric and exciting player to watch. So just sad news for the college football world. I'm not really worried about Alabama's receiving game, though. I mean, obviously, when you lose who I think is the best receiver in the nation, you know, that's obviously going to impact your offense a little bit. But as we saw in this game, their other receivers stepped up. John Mechie had 7 receptions for 151 yards. Slade Bolden, who I haven't seen play yet, had 6 receptions for 94 yards. And of course, Devontae Smith, Alabama's best receiver now, and who you could argue might have been better than Jalen Waddle before. I think they were pretty much interchangeable, and I think they both could qualify for best receiver in the country. But Devontae Smith had 7 receptions for 73 yards. So it really doesn't look like Alabama's going to be, you know, struggling too much with losing Jalen Waddle. It's just sad because he's such a great player to watch. On the other hand, Tennessee, their defense, I don't know. Alabama's put up a lot of points on everyone they faced, including Georgia, who I think still may have the best defense in the country, or arguably the best defense in the country. Alabama put up 41 points on them, so I'm not going to, you know, thrash Tennessee's defense too much for letting Alabama put up 48 on them. Tennessee's offense didn't look that great, but again, it's Alabama. I just think Alabama's a lot better of a team than Tennessee. This next game was very confusing for me. The Fighting Irish, Notre Dame moved to 5-0, beating Pitt 45-3. That is not the outcome I expected or predicted whatsoever. I mean, I'll admit, you know, I always admit when I was wrong, but I was very, very, very wrong in picking Pitt to win this game. It looks like, you know, quite silly looking back at it, but hindsight is 20/20. And I'm not really upset looking back, you know, before the game started. I'm not upset that I thought Pitt would win. But Notre Dame really pleasantly surprised me in this dominant victory. Ian Book completed 16 of 30 passes, which isn't great, but here where the numbers are great, throwing for 312 yards and 3 touchdowns. The running back the Irish ran with, Sebo Flemister, I probably butchered that name, carried the ball 13 times for 48 yards and collected a touchdown. Meanwhile, on Pittsburgh's side of the ball, Joey Yellen threw 10 of 27 passes for only 101 yards, throwing 0 touchdowns and 3 interceptions. Pitt is just reeling and spiraling. They started out 3-0. They're now 3-4. Notre Dame, I don't know how good they are. I can't tell because last week they beat Louisville 12-6. This week they beat Pitt 45-3. The consistent thing with the Irish is their defense. Their defense is very, very good this year. We saw they held Louisville's pretty explosive offense to 6 points, and they held Pitt to 3 points the whole game. They didn't even let them score a touchdown. So Notre Dame's defense is good. Their offense is inconsistent, to say the least. But hopefully, you know, if the Irish can figure that out, they might be able to challenge Clemson. I doubt it. That's not a prediction I'm making. I think Clemson will kill the Irish when they end up meeting. But, you know, this has been a wild, wild year. If the Irish can fix their offense, who knows? Next, we have Ohio State just murdering poor Nebraska 52-17. Nebraska had a very, very strong opening drive. And then, you know, that was basically all she wrote. Adrian Martinez completed 12 of 15 passes. This is Nebraska's starting quarterback, for only 105 yards, throwing 0 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. He also led the team in rushing with 13 carries, 85 yards, and a touchdown. But yeah, I mean, Nebraska put up 17 points, but they had a great opening drive, and that pretty much looked like it for Nebraska. Meanwhile, Ohio State looked about as good as I expected them to look, which is very, very, very good. Their running game, needs some work, but Justin Fields completed 20 of 21 passes, throwing for 276 yards and two touchdowns. He also carried the ball 15 times for 54 yards and a touchdown. But their other running backs, Trey Sermon, carried the ball 11 times for 48 yards, and Master Teague, which is an awesome name, carried the ball 12 times for 41 yards, but did collect two touchdowns. The problem was that it just looked like they never really could establish that run game. I don't really think Ohio State wants their leading rusher every game to be Justin Fields. That's a very dangerous situation to put your quarterback in, is if they're, you know, your main source of passing and rushing yards, because, you know, obviously that could lead to an injury very easily, and then you become a little bit more one-dimensional. If you didn't see Smith Njigba, I think that's how you pronounce his name. I'm sorry, I probably butchered that. It's a touchdown catch. I recommend you look it up after this podcast, because it was one of the best catches I have ever seen in my life. It was an insane catch. But Ohio State looked very dominant in that win. Next up was Oklahoma State playing Iowa State, and winning 24-21 in a game that will likely, at the moment at least, dictate who has the best chance to win the Big 12 this season. Oklahoma State was 3-0 in conference. Iowa State was also, or they were 2-0 in conference play, undefeated. Iowa State was 3-0 in conference play, also undefeated. Iowa State's now 3-1, and Oklahoma State's now obviously 3-0. So Oklahoma State moves to 4-0. They're ranked 6th in the nation, and Iowa State is now just 3-2. Oklahoma State could potentially make the playoffs if they win out, which I highly doubt they will, because I don't know. It's just a very Oklahoma State thing to just choke to a team they shouldn't and, you know, miss out on the playoffs. But at the moment, Oklahoma State is my pick to win the Big 12. After that game, we had number eight Penn State Nittany Lions falling to the unranked Indiana Hoosiers. So I don't know how to pronounce that. I think it's Hoosiers. So they lost in overtime and a very controversial play where Indiana decided to go for two and had the closest finish to a game I've ever witnessed live and maybe I've ever seen. If you haven't seen the play where Michael Penix Jr. dove for the pylon and got the tip of the ball in just before getting downed, or that's what it was called on the field, I highly recommend you watch that play, as it was the most exciting ending to a game I've seen in a long time. So here's my opinion on that. Assuming you have seen the play, here's my opinion on that call, them calling the two-point conversion good. I think, one, even looking at it in slow-mo, I think he was in. I think the tip of the ball crossed, and there have been a bunch of salty Penn State fans, you know, saying, oh, he wasn't in, oh, he wasn't in. I do believe that the tip of the ball crossed the white line just barely before the ball touched out of bounds. At the same time, though, if he was called down before getting in, like if on the field they called him down instead of calling it a touchdown and the two-point conversion good, I would expect the refs to stick with that decision. I think it was so close that whatever was called on the field should have stood. And so I think the refs 100% made the right decision by letting that call stand and, you know, having Indiana win. Penn State, at the same time, an embarrassing showing from them, honestly. All the credit to Indiana for winning that game. But Penn State just looked abysmal. I think they had 3 first half turnovers. Sean Clifford threw 2 interceptions in the first half. They missed 3 field goals. one of which was from 27 yards. And they could have won the game if their running back, their running backs a lot. I think it was Devin Ford, though. If instead of running into the end zone with like 1 minute left on the clock, if he would have slid down and downed himself, Penn State could have kneeled out the clock. But instead, he scored. Indiana got the ball back, scored, got a 2-point conversion, sent it to overtime and won. So, Penn State just looked like they wanted to lose the game. So I think they will get killed by Ohio State next or this upcoming Saturday. Then next we have number 9 Cincinnati. I think they are number 7 now, killing number 16 SMU. I don't have a whole lot to say about this game except for it seemed that SMU was too highly ranked. After all, they barely beat Tulane. They needed overtime to beat Tulane, who isn't a very good team. And Cincinnati does look good. They look really good. Their defense especially. Their offense looked good. Their running game was led by Desmond Ridder, who had 8 carries for 179 yards and 3 touchdowns. And their defense looked stellar, holding SMU to just 13 points. After that, we have number 11 Miami barely beating a 1-3 Virginia team, 19-14. Derek King pretty much carried Miami, completing 21 of 30 passes, throwing for 322 yards and a touchdown. Miami just, I don't know, they didn't look great. This Virginia team isn't very good at all. So I would have liked to see them win by more than just 6 points, or 5 points. But I mean, in the end, a win is a win, but they have a lot they need to clean up before next week. After that, we have BYU continuing to just destroy cupcake teams. I would really like to see BYU just play one quality opponent. Last week, they only did beat, I believe it was UTSA by 7 points. This week they bounced back, winning 52-14 against a 1-5 Texas teams or Texas State team, not Texas. So I don't know. I want to see BYU play a good team, please, or at least a decent team, because I have literally no idea if this team is good or not. Because, yeah, they're destroying all these teams, or almost all these teams besides UTSA they're playing, but they're cupcakes. Texas State was 1-5. You know, winning 52-14 is great, but it's not really great if it's against, you know, I mean, it's fine, but Texas State isn't a good team, so I don't know if BYU is good or not. I'm really looking forward to them playing Boise State to hopefully actually get a gauge on if they're good or not. I don't know. I'm not hating on BYU or anything, but I just would really like to see them play a quality opponent. So I really don't know what to think of them at the moment. They look good, but again, they're playing some of the worst defenses in college football. So next we have UNC bouncing back after last week's embarrassing loss to Florida State. They end up winning 48-21 over rivals NC State. Sam Howell completed 18 of 29 passes, throwing for 252 yards and a touchdown, while Javonte Williams really carried most of their offense. I won't say most, but a lot of it, carrying the ball just 19 times for 160 yards and 3 touchdowns. Michael Carter, I mean, UNC really runs 2 running backs, ran the ball 17 times for 106 yards and a touchdown. So not just Javonte Williams, but Michael Carter and Javonte Williams really just decimated NC State's defensive line. I apologize as well. I know the audio quality won't be as good as it normally is, but I'm in a different location than I normally record in. Michigan ends up decimating number 21 at the time. Now they're unranked, Minnesota, winning 49-24. This is the best I've seen Michigan. I mean, I get it's just been one game, but this is the best Michigan has looked in like 3-4 years. I mean, give or take, they looked dominant. They looked in control the whole game. Their offense was explosive. Their defense was able to hold Minnesota. And I do have to address the fact that Minnesota was playing without a punter or their punter. So they couldn't punt the ball like at all. Their punter was also their kickoff man, so they couldn't really kick off the ball well. So that definitely hurt them. But even aside from that, Michigan just looked very good over a Minnesota team I still think is pretty decent. But man, did Michigan look good. Then we have number 19 Virginia Tech getting upset 23-16 by an unranked Wake Forest team. Virginia Tech is now 3-2. They also lost to UNC. And it was definitely an impressive performance for the Demon Deacons. But yeah, I just think Virginia Tech was probably ranked too high and shouldn't have been ranked. But good quality win for Wake Forest. Then we have Kansas State killing Kansas, who's now 0-5. 55-14, even with a backup quarterback for Kansas State. I don't have a lot to say about that game aside from Kansas is probably the worst team in the Power 5 out of any Power 5 conference. And then we have Marshall moving to 5-0, beating Florida Atlantic 20-9. I don't really have a lot to say about that aside for, I don't know, for a Conference USA team, Marshall looks pretty good. Then we have Coastal Carolina beating Georgia Southern 28-14 and moving to 5-0, which again, for a group of five team, Coastal Carolina looks pretty good. Now getting into my picks for this upcoming week. First off, on Friday night, we have number 19 Marshall visiting Florida International. Marshall is 5-0. Florida National is 0-3. I think that's all I have to say about this game. I'm taking Marshall. Boston College is traveling down to Death Valley to take on number 1 Clemson. Easily Clemson. They're going to continue their streak of dominance, even though I don't think Boston College is a bad team right now. Then we have number 5 Georgia visiting Kentucky. I think Kentucky's a pretty good team, but Georgia's defense is definitely too good for Kentucky to really compete with them. I'm taking Georgia. Here comes my first upset prediction of the week. 3-1 Memphis, who's currently unranked, is visiting 4-0, currently number 7 in the nation, Cincinnati. I'm taking Memphis. I think Memphis could definitely pull off an upset. I think Cincinnati hasn't been ranked 7th in a long time. And I think, you know, just because of that, they might just, you know, slip up. Hard to be in, I guess, the limelight for some teams. We've seen this happen before several times, but I also just think Memphis is a better team overall, so I'm taking Memphis. Then we have Michigan State visiting number 13 Michigan. Michigan will kill them. I don't think it'll be a close rivalry game at all. I'm easily taking Michigan. Their defense looks too dominant and their offense is too powerful for Michigan State, who just lost to Rutgers as well, to take on. We have number 16, Kansas State, visiting West Virginia. I'm taking Kansas State. They're 4-1. They haven't lost since the first game of the season. Even with a backup quarterback, West Virginia still hasn't really looked great. In fact, this week they lost to Texas Tech, who I think is one of the worst teams in the Big 12, so easily Kansas State in that game. Then we have Coastal Carolina visiting Georgia State. I'm taking Coastal Carolina. You know, they're rolling. They're 5-0. Georgia State's 2-2. They're only 1-2 in conference play. Coastal Carolina is going to continue rolling. They're going to continue winning. They're moving to 6-0. Iowa State, who is for some ungodly reason ranked 23rd after losing to Oklahoma State when they were ranked 17th. I don't know how you don't drop out of the rankings after that. But they're visiting Kansas, who's 0-5, so Iowa State is going to decimate Kansas as everyone else has. There's no way I'm ever picking Kansas. I don't care who they're playing. Iowa State is winning. At least this Kansas team this year. I don't have a bias against Kansas. They're just awful this year. Then we have Notre Dame visiting, number 4 Notre Dame visiting Georgia Tech. I'm easily taking Notre Dame, especially after their showing last week, and Georgia Tech is 2-4 and not a good team. Then we have number 9 Wisconsin visiting Nebraska. I'm taking Wisconsin in this game, although their starting quarterback will be out unless his COVID test was a false positive, as he tested positive for COVID today. So even with a backup, well, Graham Mertz wasn't, or Jack Cohn, Wisconsin's quarterback who was supposed to start, got injured. So then Graham Mertz, who's a true freshman, had to play. So I guess technically this is their third string who's going to be in, but I'm still taking Wisconsin. They're just too dominant. And a team like Nebraska, I think Nebraska's on the rise. They're not good enough yet to compete with Wisconsin. Wisconsin's owned the West, and I think they'll own it again this year. Then we have number 17, Indiana, who's 1-0 at Rutgers, which will actually be a surprisingly good game, as Rutgers is also 1-0. I'm taking the Hoosiers, though, after that exciting win over Penn State. And I still think Penn State's a pretty good team, so taking Indiana in that one. Then we have Texas visiting number 6, Oklahoma State, in which I am taking Texas. As I said earlier, I think Oklahoma State is going to slip up. I think they're going to mess up. Texas has won, you know, they won their game last week against Baylor, who again, Baylor's not a good team. But I think this is the end of Oklahoma State's, you know, undefeated spree. I think they feel good. They feel like, you know, they can win the conference, and now comes their usual Oklahoma State slip up. So give me Texas. Then we have number 25, Boise State at Air Force. I'm taking Boise State. I think they pretty much, you know, are one of the best group of five teams. So I pick them most in most of their matchups against group of five teams, and I have no reason not to after their dominant performance last week. So Boise State. Then we have Mississippi State visiting number 2, Alabama. I'm easily picking Alabama. And I also would like to restate my claim, and I think it was my first podcast episode ever, where I did my way too early top 25, which turned out it was way too early, as then there was lots of drama with the Big Ten and the Pac-12 dropping out and then coming back in. But I had Alabama ranked at number 1 overall, and I said they would win the national. I didn't say they would. I said I'm predicting them to win the national championship, and I would like to say I haven't ever said I changed my mind about that, or I thought, oh, now I think Clemson's going to win after watching Alabama. I stand by what I said. I still think Alabama's winning the national title this year, so I think they're going to dominate Mississippi State. Then we have number 3, Ohio State, visiting number 18, Penn State. I'm picking Ohio State. I think they will kill Penn State, especially after that sorry performance against Indiana and Ohio State's explosive performance against Nebraska, so easily Ohio State in that one. Then we have Arkansas visiting number 8, A&M, Texas A&M. I'm going to be at this game. I'm very excited. It will be on Halloween night. But even if I wasn't going to be at this game, I'm still picking A&M. I think it's honestly a joke that Cincinnati is ranked ahead of A&M at the moment, because if A&M and Cincinnati played, I think A&M would kill them, but you know, that's just the AP poll, you know, being the AP poll. But I think Arkansas is a very good team, and this is a very scary game for A&M, especially when you consider the fact that even when Arkansas was down bad, and they were just really bad, you know, on that massive SEC losing streak, they still played A&M close. For some reason, A&M plays Arkansas close every single year. So this is a very, very scary game for A&M, especially if they hope to be a playoff contender and, you know, win out and only have one loss against Alabama. So a scary game. I think it'll be close. I think it'll be decided by a touchdown or less, but I think A&M's going to get the win in the end, especially with that home field advantage. Which, fun fact, normally A&M and Arkansas play in the Dallas Cowboy Stadium, but they're playing at A&M this year due to, you know, COVID and that whole situation. Then we have Florida actually playing a game. Mizzou will be visiting them. Florida missed their past two games due to a coronavirus outbreak. But I'm definitely taking Florida. Kyle Trask is still an amazing quarterback, even after their loss to A&M. Easily Florida. I think Mizzou is a team that is also on the rise, but I don't think they can compete with Florida just yet. Next, we have Navy visiting number 22, SMU. SMU is definitely going to bounce back and beat Navy. And if Navy was not as abysmal as they've looked this year, I mean, they do have three wins, but they're three close wins. I think all three of their wins have been by a field goal or less. And all three of their losses, they've pretty much gotten they have gotten blown out. So if Navy wasn't so abysmal, I would pick Navy, but I think SMU wins just because Navy's not a good team whatsoever this year. Then we have number 15, North Carolina, visiting Virginia. I'm still going with UNC, especially after that win over NC State. I do get they lost to Florida State 2 weeks ago, and this is probably going to be a scary game for North Carolina, especially after how close Virginia played Miami. But I think UNC is going to, you know, I think Mac Brown's too good of a coach to let what messed them up against Florida State keep plaguing them. So I'm taking UNC. Then we have number 24, Oklahoma, visiting unranked Texas Tech. I am going to choose Oklahoma because I think Texas Tech is an awful team, which makes it even more embarrassing that West Virginia lost to them, which is another reason I'm taking Kansas State over West Virginia, even with a backup quarterback. But yeah, I'm taking Oklahoma. Then we have Western Kentucky, who's 2-4, visiting number 11, 6-0, BYU. Obviously, that's a no-brainer. I'm choosing BYU. I don't really even think I have to explain why. Well, that concludes this week's edition of College Football Mania. Again, sorry that the audio quality isn't as good as it normally is. And as always, I'm your host, Brendan Hendricks. Thanks for tuning in, and I hope you all have a great week.